And welcome to the first episode of 2007. Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. You know who I am. You know what I'm here to do. Join me, as always, my ace, Bunku, the man, the myth, the legend, XG, and the place to be. How are you?
Good, man. 2019.
You got up. Good. You did a little stand-up, I heard.
Yeah, for my first time. It was good.
How did it feel?
Felt great.
Word on the street is you crushed.
Yeah, for my first time, I said I did good. I wasn't the best, but
you're great, dude. Yeah, hey, that's where you start, dude.
We'll do
some tinfoil hats together and stuff. We'll try to do Long Beach and stuff. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at BetDSI. BetDSI for all your betting needs, man. We got the playoffs tonight. We got the NFL playoffs. NBA's looking great. UFC is just insane this year. Go bet parlays, everything. You make a bet, I'll make a bet with you. Go to betdsi.com, use the promo code HAT100, and they will match anything up to $500, and we appreciate them coming and working with us on the show. A lot of amazing show. We can't even look them up, right?
Okay.
Guys, if you go to tinfoilhatpodcast.com, all the new shirts are up, and including the Eddie Bravo Look Into a T-shirt. I have two more shirts that are being made. They're going to be great. I'm super excited. Ronin and Bonin. And then the Suicided Squads. That will come out soon. I am going to be January 19th at Morris Plains, New Jersey. Yeah, who's bragging? This guy right here. And I'm going to be at Tiff's Grill and Ale House. They're calling it the Chuckle Shat Hut. I will not call it that.
No.
I can't play a chuckle hut. What am I? A cruise ship comic? I'm a fucking dude. I drop truth bombs on these kids, man. Okay? I'm not playing a chuckle hut. All right? So they got mad at me. I didn't play on fire. I'm like, I don't play chuckle huts, man. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. So I'm playing Tiff's Grill and Ale House. I'm super excited. Tickets are already moving. So just go to samtripoli.com. Grab those, the Patreons. What else do we have to talk about? That's it, dude.
Fucking yeah.
That's
pretty
it.
Pretty much it.
That's it, man. Bang. I bang these things out. Joining us is a man who walks the walk, talks the talk. Look at that. I forgot to turn it off and it just runs, dude.
Damn,
you ever
running.
Done that where you just like leave your phone on and it just fucking runs and drains your battery? Well, because I guess you just called me a retard. this guy's the real deal. I don't know what it is about Japan, but all the Americans move to Japan and do conspiracies. They're on point. They pull no punches. He's probably one of the top authorities in the world on 9/11, and we're super excited about having him on. Please welcome Ryan Dawson, everybody. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good, dude.
We're making it happen. I feel like people have been asking us to powwow for a long time. I know on my end they have. So it's cool that we actually got to make this happen. So thanks for coming on, and God bless your bathrobe, dude. That is the shit.
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. My wife gave me this. It's pretty smooth pimping.
Now,
it's cold over here, so I could have worn a tie, and I said, why? I'm wearing the robe.
Yeah, wear the robe.
Hugh Hefner style.
We know
there was a boss.
Yeah, we know that you don't have any pants on, and your feet are in one of those puddles with the feet that eat your feet.
The little fishes
yeah,
that
you
eat
ever
your
done
desk
that?
No,
I never wear
shit.
Pants. You like all my YouTube videos, everything I've ever done has been pantsless.
Yeah,
pants are overrated.
Japan, that's a sign of disrespect if you wear pants, right? Something like that.
Sure, it's right? A good excuse. Yeah.
So we were talking before because we were having tech issues. That's why you guys didn't hear any of the the title song or the,
oh, they're
going
to be pissed. They love that song.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get murdered, but that's okay. I'm used to it. I'm dead on the inside. I'm burnt wood. you were kind of talking about how you decided to, I asked you, why'd you move to Japan? And you were like, blah, blah. You know,
well,
can you tell us
I can
a little
tell
bit?
You again if you like.
I'd love to hear it. Second verse, same as the first.
People often ask me that. And when I tell them my answer, they're like, well, all right then. Basically, George Bush Jr. got reelected even after the Iraq War, and I said, F it, I'm out. And I left.
Yeah.
I did not want to pay to, you know, I was already angry about the sanctions, starving children, and all that, but I was too young to do anything. And I'd finished college, and Bush got reelected, and I said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I went to Japan. I thought of a lot of different places, but there are a lot of other reasons to come, why specifically Japan, but the main reason why I left the U.S. was because of the political conditions.
Well, you talk to talk, you walk to walk. I've been thinking a lot about, I don't think I'll ever leave, but I mean the fact that I have to pay in to a system that I have no say in. This magical voting process we have, which more and more we're seeing it's rigged as fucked, you know?
Fuck yeah, it is.
It's just rigged on both sides. I love as both sides tee off on the other one about how they're cheating and shit like that. And it's just like, you just got busted too. You just
Well, the way they treated Ron Paul, when he would win, the televised media would just skip his name or not ask him questions. Like, that kind of treatment was so blatant and in your face, is saying, you're not having anything fair. We're not having fair debates. We're not going to have fair elections. And everyone could be angry about that because it undermines the entire process. If you believe in democracy, you don't even have that much.
You don't. I mean, you really don't. And everybody's just, this is the freest place ever. I mean, dude, I hate to tell everybody, I've been to China. And I guess as an expat, maybe we have more rights than the Chinese. But man, you're like, dude, this isn't bad. You can pretty much, as long as you don't murder or rape anybody, you can pretty much do whatever you want in China. And it's crazy when I tell people that and they're like, what? I'm like, dude, I'll get you a gig out there.
Yeah, we're not allowed to do shit here.
Most of the entire first world has more personal freedom than the United States.
And people don't realize that. And they're like, we're number one. I'm like, in what? What are we number one in, man?
Incarceration.
Military.
Yeah.
Obesity. Arms sales.
Yeah, all this, nothing good, basically.
Torture, maybe.
I mean, we're not even the best porn stars anymore. Like, these Eastern European chicks are coming in changing the game.
They're coming hot.
They're coming in hot.
That's hot as fuck.
That's the top of the white ladder.
Yeah, dude. Well, you know, like, Eastern European chicks treat porn like, black guys treat the NBA. It's like it's a way out of the ghetto. So they're, like, sucking fucking 50 cents at a dollar.
They be getting down on those subways. You know how they're, like, for a couple days? You get that room?
Yeah.
They get fucking down in those fucking
rooms. Yeah, it gets weird out there.
It's weird as fuck.
So I was super excited to have you on. Corey hooked us up, and I'm very thankful for that. He's a great guy. And I thought it'd be really good because just at the end of the last year, architects for 911, 9/11 truthers, okay, recently scored a victory in that they basically, the United States Attorney General agreed to comply with federal law requiring a submission to a special grand jury of a report by lawyers committed on 9/11 and the victims of family members of yet to be prosecuted 9/11 related federal crimes. What does that mean? Basically, what they're trying to say is that there were a crime that was committed that was not investigated because George Bush Sr. basically said that it was a terrorist attack and no longer a crime. So there was no more investigation. And what they're saying is there is an investigation. Now, Ryan, you have your own thoughts on this whole process. And what do you think?
Well, it's good to keep anything that can maintain the public's attention on 9/11 is a good thing. I wouldn't hold my breath on these court cases, though.
I wouldn't either.
It took architects and engineers for 9/11 about 15 years just to admit a plane hit the Pentagon. So they're always lagging behind quite a bit. But there certainly were crimes committed in 9/11. And I believe the anthrax investigation that never really was resolved, that's a criminal act. I guess they would say that's also an act of terrorism, but it's related to 9/11. But it was wrongly associated with Iraq, and nobody ever got prosecuted for the Atta and Prague mythology. Nobody went back to the sources and said, hey, why are they saying Mohammed Atta met senior Iraqi officials in Prague where they passed anthrax to them when it turned out Iraq didn't have anthrax and neither did Al-Qaeda? If the official story is blaming the entire thing on Bruce Ivins, and anthrax is genetically traced back to Fort Detrick, Maryland, or the U.S.'s own labs, then where did this story come from about Atta and Prague, and how come nobody was prosecuted for saying that? Because this helped lead to a war in Iraq. Remember, Colin Powell went to the U.N. saying that, Iraq's violating U.N. Resolution 1441, stipulating they can't have WMDs, and he held up a mock file of anthrax. And he showed cartoon pictures of mobile weapons labs, which dovetailed lies from Judith Miller, who wrote about it in the New York Times, saying that he has VX gas and anthrax. There's this long trail of deception, but the source of it was somebody, James Woolsey, coming back with a story about Atta in Prague. And this is something the PNAC group was writing about a month before 9/11. They had a big fat picture of Osama bin Laden. They tried to juxtapose Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And it turns out James Woolsey, the former director of the CIA, he had gotten his information from Israeli security forces who allegedly witnessed his transfer. And this was in BLID, this was in Le Monde, this was in the New York Observer, earned by Charles Kushner, by the way, who I'll get to in a minute. And they used this at the Weekly Standard, which is now a defunct media outfit for the PNAC. And the Weekly Standard was seeded by Lockheed Martin, so there's plenty of incentive for them to lie.
Oh,
so Gary Schmidt, Robert Kagan, you know, Kagan fame, his wife said F the EU, talking about Ukraine. These neocons lied about anthrax in Iraq.
Yeah,
so
they were also
regardless of what anybody thinks about 9/11, it was definitely wrongly associated with Iraq and led to a war where over a million people were murdered. So that right there is a huge criminal act in and of itself. And no one seems to care that the Israelis and James Woolsey lied and that PNAC reiterated their lies. Nobody got any sort of accountability or were held responsible for lying about anthrax.
Well, they also,
Bruce Ivins, that wasn't true either.
They also were taking anthrax vaccines a month before the attacks happened.
Cipro, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, of all the vaccines in the world, that's the one you pick and then magically it just happens. And then this is the thing about
Rumsfeld used to work for Dow Chemical as well. They made the Tamiflu, which got pulled off the shelves in Japan, I'm happy to say.
It makes me so upset at the level of treason that we allow to happen in this country. I mean, just the whole thing is, you look at who the news people are. The news people are all the children of these war criminals. I mean, Conan O'Brien's executive producer is the son of Henry Kissinger, dude. I mean, How is that fucking possible?
I actually made a map of that one time going over the MIC parent companies of the mass media parent companies, because you'll see that all your three-letter networks, your ABC, CBS, CNN, etc., your MSNBC, as I like to say, and Fox, they all have a parent company. And if you look at the board of directors, because nobody just owns the media, it's not that simplistic, but if you look at their BODs, they have overlapping membership with the same BOD members of Boeing, of Lockheed, of Raytheon, and so forth. So you can see the Pentagon is like a giant umbrella corporation that is interlaced with mass media, and that's why they always lie. They're always pro-war. Everybody said Assad must go, right? Everyone said too big to fail. They have uniform catchphrases all the way down to the local level. They're reading a script. And you can see this online and say, this is how they control you.
Oh, yeah, they had, what was that company? Aaron, what was that company that got busted that on the local level? It was more on local. I forget what the name is, but Fox got busted doing it with memos, giving them talking points. Then this company that owns all the Sinclair Media got busted with saying the exact same thing. And But when you say that the left does it with the MSNBC and all that stuff, liberals' heads explode. And it's just like, dude, it's so blatantly obvious right now what is going on. This is Mockingbird in full effect. They do not cover things that don't help their agenda. And we'll get into John Brennan later. But the fact that that guy is allowed to talk about anything on MSNBC is just, I mean, dude, I was listening to him last night. It was so bad. They were talking about how we're not pulling out of Syria. Like, they're like, we're not. And it's just like, dude, we are. And maybe sending in a...
John Bolton said so. John Bolton said we wouldn't talk to North Korea either, and we did it anyway.
I mean, they have no problem lying to... just straight lying. And, like, the problem with, like, you know, conspiracy theorists, when we talk about this, is that we keep score. These people are goldfish. They literally just sit here and whatever's in front of them is the only thing that matters. And they just can't. And it's why, like, the Me Too movement fell oh, fucking completely apart. Because they were saying it about, oh, dude, the right guys. And then it was all these theater nerd dorks who grew up watching Japanese anime. No offense, dude. Japanese anime. Okay. And that they
didn't
know,
make it.
Yeah. They didn't know how to talk to chicks. They think every girl wants an octopus tentacle in their snatch. And that's how they think they fucking talk to women. And it's not how it fucking goes, dude. So
do you know why anime has that style?
Oh, this is great. Why?
Let me fill you in on some things. Because post-war Japan, Japan's fairly conservative. They pixelate most genitalia, but that didn't include art like drawings and things. So a lot of pornography moved to animation rather than real people to get around the censorship. So they made another law saying you can't show cocks. So instead of penises, it's tentacles or robots or some way that's definitely a penis that looks like a penis, but it's not a penis, just to get around the rule. And it kind of created this new genre, but it wasn't the Japanese who were consuming it. It was Europeans.
Yeah, because, dude, white people just get weird, dude. They like to just get fucking weird, man. Rich people like to get weird. But let's get back to this. I want to talk about, again, I know you're not into the grand jury, but basically what is being said is their whole thing is like, we're not trying to say that George Bush did or did not do anything. What we are trying to say is that the demolition of these buildings could not have happened naturally the way the official story said, which is that they fell naturally at the rate of gravity, which is impossible. So they're saying if that is true, that it didn't fall at the rate of gravity, then in fact, something went on and it was an inside job, which is where we are right now. It's the NIST. What's that called? What's that company called? The
NIST.
Yeah. They basically came out and it's just like the Warren report, you know. Or what was it with JFK? What was that report?
The Warren Commission?
Yeah, the Warren Commission. It's just bullshit. Trying to tell us that a bullet took a fucking U-turn and came back and hit him again.
And again.
Well, yeah. The House Select Committee on Assassinations revisited Kennedy and determined multiple shooters. That's even the official story admits that. I don't get too hung up on the physics side of 9/11. To me, that's like if somebody burned your house down. It doesn't really matter whether they use gasoline or kerosene. The police found bombs inside of vans on 9/11. That was reported by Pat Dawson and Rick Sanchez. Multiple. I mean, it was just like the 1993 World Trade Center bombing with a Ryder truck. There were reports of bombs found, explosive devices in the parking garage underneath the building. So that there is already physical evidence witnessed by our cops on 9/11. So you don't really have to. It's disingenuous to me to pretend like you got to search through the debris and do all this when people were physically caught with explosives. And there's more to that I can get into in a bit. So I feel like you're ignoring all the Class A arguments and focusing on like a D-minus argument. And I don't know why anybody would take that route. I mean, 9/11 I see as the midpoint between Iran-Contra and the war on Syria. All of which have involved a joint international use of covert proxy forces and funding. And if you're not familiar with Syria, or maybe if you know Syria, or you don't, but maybe you know Iran-Contra, in either case, you'll understand. I mean, Iran-Contra, I think, is the best example because a lot of older people lived through that. There were prosecutions for conspiracy, and it was very much like Syria. Remember in Syria, ISIS beheaded American journalists. That happened the same thing in Iran-Contra. In Nicaragua, journalists were shot on film. And so publicly, the Reagan administration denounced the Contras. But privately, they were covertly sponsoring them the entire time, both with arms, with pilot training, and looking the other way as they sold narcotics as a off-the-books budget for paying a bunch of mercenaries to kill Sandinistas in Nicaragua. And you're talking about 30,000 people were murdered. Child soldiers cutting off hands, cutting off heads, very similar to ISIS. And our government, our CIA at least, was secretly sponsoring these people the entire time while they're publicly denouncing it. And the same thing with ISIS. With ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Sham, you have a slew of international intelligence agencies that are procuring and giving arms to terrorist groups, calling it the moderate rebels. Everybody knows that they're backed by the Saudi, Israel, the United States, and until recently, Turkey. Everyone knows, and they've been busted on it. And these are what I call modern privateers. It's the old system that the British used to use with pirates, right? They couldn't, at the time, you know, Spain was the world power, and the English couldn't attack a Spanish ship without risking war. But if a pirate attacked the ship, then all you can do is catch the individual pirate and hang them. So they realized, well, why don't we just secretly sponsor a bunch of pirates? And, you know, if the pirates get caught, it doesn't go back to us. And these are pirates on the land, terrorist organizations. Al-Qaeda, from its inception,
yep,
has had a hand-in-glove relationship with the CIA and ISI. And we all know that they are an outgrowth of the Mujahideen. This simultaneous with Iran-Contra happening in Latin America, you had the war in Afghanistan starting from 1980 onward, where the Mujahideen was propped up by the United States, and lo and behold, they couldn't find enough money, so they created the BCCI, because Congress would not approve of budgets to support terrorists, so they did it covertly. And they had partners in crime in that through with Saudi Arabia. And this relationship would continue on up through 9/11 and the war on Syria and Libya. And when you were talking about leftist media earlier, I think the Unabomber nailed it, and the guy's a genius.
Nailed it, dude.
I don't agree, but
nailed it.
If you read his manifesto, like 11 through 16, he nails this leftist psychology, and how just fake the whole thing is. It's almost like it's always, you know, screeching on behalf of another that you're not personally involved with, but they want a virtue signal about usually minority rights. I call them Islamaholics, etc. But if you're really concerned about homosexuals, about women, about brown people, black people, etc., then how could you, call someone literally Hitler and a Nazi, etc., for comments they made, and yet support Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as they handed Libya over to Al-Qaeda, which now has open-air slave trade where you can buy a person for $400.
Yeah.
They are selling people in Libya, and we bombed and killed tens of thousands of people. I'm sure a good portion of them were gay. Almost all of them were brown or black. Half of them were women. All these, you know, things, and not to mention guys, you know. But, it's just disingenuous virtue signaling. They support the war in Syria. All these leftists said Assad must go. Bernie Sanders said Assad must go. Hillary said Assad must go.
I'm with you on that.
They cursed them all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Bernie Sanders supported $1.5 trillion in spending for the F-35, parts of which were made in Vermont. He supported every single war other than Vietnam, and I think in the second Iraq war, but he voted to finance it 3 times. He's a schmuck. He's basically, you know, Hillary Clinton plus a touch of communism.
Yeah.
That's not a person to get excited about. He's a horrible human being.
Well, you know, when he was like, nobody cares about the emails. I'm like, yeah, we do care about the emails. The emails are indication of a lot of things. First of all, where does these emails go to a undisclosed server? Nobody knows who that server is. It's a good chance it's China. So at the best you have is that she got hacked by China. At the worst you have is that she sold our documents and national secrets to China, because that is what she does.
And I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. That's what she does. So
the Clintons burned American children in Waco. They burned Americans, killed them, both the Clintons. And so to me, Hillary's emails, they're important, but there's kind of, I call it the Lewinsky effect. Like, focusing on Monica Lewinsky for Bill or focusing on Hillary's emails is the most like tertiary tip of the iceberg for this woman's crimes.
Well, yeah.
She was the head of the State Department. Libya was her war. They took a functional North African country and turned it into a cesspool of Al-Qaeda that now sells slaves. Sex slavery, I mean, the worst things, child slavery, the worst things you can imagine, that is a reality in Libya now because of Hillary Clinton. She had a coup d'etat in Honduras. She had kids getting raped by dogs in Haiti. I mean, the Clinton Foundation is money laundering operations go all through the mafia, through terrorist organization. I mean, that woman is guilty of so many horrendous crimes. Her emails are dead last on my list of things that I'd like to berate Hillary Clinton about.
No, I'm with you, but there's more to it. Like within the emails, it's their name, because what they do is they set the table. Like with these hearings with Kavanaugh, and I know people are tired of hearing me talk about it, but it's like they made that about his sexual past. Both sides did, because they didn't want anyone looking into the fact that he's completely into a police state. He thinks the president is above the law. That was done on both sides for real. So they framed
Hillary Clinton's banging Turkish lesbians in her townhouses in D.C. I mean, my uncle was her bodyguard. I know firsthand that she is a minimal bisexual and secretly sleeping with women all over. Her and her husband are doing that. I mean, they rape people. They murder people. They had Seth Rich murdered. She hired two guys from South America to go to D.C. and take care of him. And they did. No one seems to be interested in what happened to Seth Rich. Clearly, I mean, everyone admits it was a murder, but they don't see that it was a contract killing. But that is exactly what it was. He's who leaked to the DNC. It wasn't Russian hackers. It was Seth Rich. And they've been screaming this, I guess Pelosi calls it a wrap-up smear about Russia the entire time. For years, they've been saying things about Russia. Like, you want to know a foreign country that has influence over the United States and why we're involved in the Middle East? It's Israel. It's not Russia. Everybody goes and kisses the ring at AIPAC. You can't even name the Russian lobby because it has no influence at all.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. We're going to get into all that. And I just want to say this, man. You know, I always do this when we preface it, when we're going to get into stuff with Israel, because there's going to be people in the comments section going to be yelling anti-Semitism and stuff like that. For me, dude, it's like I judge everybody on an individual basis, okay?
And Israel is not an ethnic group. Israel's a state.
Yeah, for sure. Ryan, hold on. Let me say this real quick, and then I'll totally let you do your thing. I just want to say this because this is very important that we get into this discussion, okay? Again, Israel is not a fucking religion. Israel is a set of laws chosen by that group of people, and Israelis, most of your Israelis probably on a fucking person level are no different than Americans who, like, after 9/11 attacks are like, we gotta go kill everybody. They're being manipulated, mm-hmm. Okay? At the highest fucking levels, this is a cabal, okay? A cabal, whatever you want to call it, cabal, and you can go you can go neocons, neoliberals, Zionism, Sharia law. We can go through all these groups that want this stuff. They're all bullshit, okay? It's all bullshit. Anyone who says their way is the best way and it should dominate is full of shit. I have no problems with the Jewish faith. I have no problem with Jewish people. Jewish chicks are number two on my super freak big board right after Mexican chicks, okay? So they're fucking great. So we're not judging these motherfuckers, okay? But you can't go, what's being done right now is to scare you to question these people. Like when that one guy, senator in Washington or wherever he was, the politician who said the Rothschilds own control the weather. What he's talking about is DARPA, okay? That may not be your thing, Ryan, but he's talking about DARPA, okay? And then what did the media do? Ran with it is, oh, he says the Jews control the weather. That is not the same thing, okay? And that's what they try to do, and it's become the boy who cries wolf, all right? Anytime you question anybody, they throw anti-Semitism, and it's not that at all. I don't know where my life would be without Jews, man. I got a lot of Jews in my life who I love, and I care about.
My co-host is Jewish. Yeah, it's the boy who cried wolf. To conflate Israel with Jews in general is as silly as claiming criticism of North Korea is anti-Asian or anti-Korean, or criticism of Wahhabi Islam, or criticism of Saudi Arabia is anti-Arab or anti-Muslim. The fact is, but see, there are other states with Islam, and there are other states with Asians. There's only one state that calls itself the Jewish state. So whereas I can condemn Saudi Arabia, but then say, but look, I'm supporting Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, etc. There's no other Jewish state for me to point to. But, you know, Israel is a country. It's not an ethnic group. It's not a religion. And there are always going to be people that say, anti-Semitism about everything. And that all that does is it detracts from cases of actual anti-Semitism. It's like people saying eyeball rape. That detracts from actual rape. You know, the more you like throw out accusations of racism, prejudice, etc., the more you call everybody you disagree with a Nazi, the less the term means. Like when there is a case of anti-Semitism, people go, whatever. You say that about everything, right? And, you know, Israel's a country, and like America, their population is manipulated. Plenty of Israelis don't like what their government is doing either. But it is a government. And from Saudi Arabia and Israel in particular never really had a chance at any sort of modernity because religious fanatics were pumped up by foreign powers that were already established, like Britain and the United States. They wanted the Likud party in power. They wanted the Wahhabis in power. That's good for business. They're in the business of death. They are literally in a business of death. And so how are moderate Israelis or moderate Saudis going to go up in the fray when the monarchs are being propped up by huge powers like the United States and Britain. Yeah, and Einstein was offered the presidency of Israel and turned it down. He called Israel a lunatic state. He saw the Likudniks. He called Menachem Begin a terrorist, which he was. He wanted no part in it because there was he couldn't have fixed it, not even Einstein. There was too much money and power behind the crazies. And, you know, as Norman Finkelstein calls him, a lunatic state as well. And so it is what it is. And unfortunately, in a lot of places like Saudi Arabia and Israel, you have some really bad people in control of the government. The United States has had its periods like that, too.
I mean, we're going through one. United States is guilty of genocide.
We killed 2 million people in Vietnam. We killed 1 million people in Korea. We killed 1 million people in Iraq. I mean, those are Holocausts in my book. And that was all at the hand of the United States. So, I mean, it's not like we're some manipulated partner that's dragged kicking and screaming into these conflicts. America is on board with these things. They're allies with Israel because they agree with them ideologically.
Well, they make them happen as well. I mean, like, they are full on participants in these events. Like, when was the last war we had that wasn't started by a false flag? It just doesn't happen. I mean, like, it just doesn't happen, dude. And we just instigate and we instigate and we instigate. And then when they react or when the paid players play their role, we just go nuts. And then all these fucking trust fund kids who are fucking littering the mainstream media, who grew up in this fucking military-industrial complex that doesn't see anything wrong with selling arms and death and destruction, right? Just push a narrative, man. You know, they're trying to push a narrative. This is what we've seen in the last 3 weeks since the announcement of pulling out of Syria. We've seen, oh my God, the Pentagon is sad, okay? The Pentagon is sad, and the military industrial, this is a real headline. This was not an Onion article. This is a real headline. The military industrial complex is ran by women now. Like, cheering that. I mean, like, what the fuck is this, man?
Like, what? It matters.
Like, yeah, like, you know what that tells me? Women can be fucking bloodthirsty scumbags, too. And it's just like, it's really fucking sad, man. It makes me sad that we are now going to enter almost 20 years in Afghanistan. We're like a year and a half away. And it all starts from this event. And I want to get into this event, okay?
Yeah, there were children who are in Afghanistan right now who were born before 9/11, before the invasion of Afghanistan. They weren't even alive yet. And now they're over there serving.
Yep.
18-year-olds, 19-year-olds.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they made that whole issue with trans in the military. Oh, trans want to join. Trans don't want to join the military. Nobody wants to die in fucking in banker wars, man. It's just
Hillary Clinton's the one that cut off food aid to Afghanistan, allegedly over women's rights, but it happened to correlate exactly when the Taliban cut off the opium trade. That was her, too.
I couldn't agree more, dude. You know,
and John McCain, I had a party when John McCain kicked the bucket. You know, the longer his funeral was, the longer our party was. Because John McCain and Hillary Clinton, like, if there were two people you could erase, I mean, they are the top. Richard Pearl would be up there, too, but those would be the top three.
For sure, man. I was going to do a gig in Vegas with a friend of mine, Steve Renazzisi. Ironically, we're talking about this, right? But who I love with all my heart. He's a wonderful guy. But, you know, McCain died, and I'm just tweeting, fuck that dude, blah, blah, blah. He's a scumbag. And, you know, he's like, dude, he served in the war. I go, how do you know?
Oh, on which side? Which side did he serve?
Right?
Songbird McCain, right?
We got the same hate when we did it for George Bush.
Right.
When Senior died, we were... everyone was like, why are you guys being bad? I was like, he killed a lot of people.
He's involved in this shit, too. Let's get into
people say, don't talk ill of the dead. Really? We don't talk bad of Stalin. We don't talk ill of Hitler. We don't talk ill of Pol Pot. Like, John McCain and his whole family is a legacy of maniacs. His father helped cover up the USS Liberty attack. John McCain was like the pale horse in the Book of Revelations. Everywhere he went, death followed. He met with Ahrar al-Sham in Syria. He met with Al-Qaeda in Libya. Like, anywhere John McCain showed up. I made a t-shirt called John McCain Still Dead. I had a zombie John McCain on the front and on the back. It was like tour dates of a band that had canceled dates. It said places John McCain won't be anymore. Vietnam, Arizona, Syria.
I love that, Washington, dude.
D.C. Yeah, he got pulled. But yeah, some people bought it before it got pulled. But
limited edition, homeboy, limited edition.
Limited edition. I wanted to send a box of them to his daughter, but I got pulled before I had a chance.
I cannot believe Dick Cheney's kid got elected to either the Senate or Congress. I don't know. I think she's a senator. Can you fucking believe that?
Cheney was instrumental in 9/11.
Of course. We're going to get let's do this, okay? So basically, I want to start with the Israeli art students, okay? And this kind of starts like a year or two before with the DEA, which we've seen this again. You brought up the Iran-Contra. And then we've also seen with Obama had his own Obama-Contra, where Hezbollah selling drugs in the United States and getting funneled out in used cars, which involved the Awam brothers as well. You know, here we have the, you know, I didn't know that Israel is one of the top producers of ecstasy around the world. They went, yeah.
Well, they were busted in two separate incidents of $40 million bus, one in Los Angeles, one in New York.
I have no problem with people doing ecstasy. Legalize it, man. That's why I'm starting to think that everything's illegal so they can make black ops money off it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I mean, shrooms about
to
be legal.
Yeah, I'm not so concerned with people doing the drug as much as I am with what happens with that money.
Yeah. And here we go. We have these guys, you know, we have these Israeli art students going around selling art. And it was getting weird because they were showing up at these DEA office, DEA people's houses.
Houses, yep.
And at offices in which nobody was supposed to know where the offices were. And that's when they started getting weirded out. So they would start looking into who these dealers are and their numbers, and those numbers correlated with some of these Israeli art students.
And Hanan Sarfati, which was one of the Israeli art students busted in Florida, shared a room with the 9/11 hijacker in Colorado briefly. They were using that. They weren't there to sell art. They were there to set up honey traps on the DEA. But it's important to know because the DEA has a look away list. Since, you know, everyone knows the CIA is bringing drugs into places like Miami and New Orleans, et cetera.
Arkansas as well.
And they use the local mob as the plausible deniability. And one way to sneak drugs onto a plane is by controlling the ramp crews. If you can control the employees in the ramp crew, you know, slip them some money they can put on there or whatever you like, which includes weapons. And if you look at the list of debris for Flight 93, et cetera, as well as the airphone calls, Al-Qaeda didn't just have box cutters. They had knives. They had legit weapons, gas in one case, or mace on Flight 11, for example. How did they get these things on? Well, if you can control the entry port from ramps, you can get anything on a plane that you wish. And so, but mainly the role of the art students was to create a gigantic narcotics ring, which helped finance a lot of this off the books. You can't just go to the Knesset and say, hey, can we have some money for Al-Qaeda? Like, you can't do that to Congress either. So the Mossad and the CIA are notorious for using narco money. CIA, usually from Latin America, cocaine, et cetera, to pay for its off-the-books operations. And that was part of the funding for Iran-Contra. Some of it was illegal weapon sales to Iran. That's how they got the name and plane parts. But a large portion of it was allowing and assisting, like with pilots, the narco trade from Nicaragua and other Latin American states, and then using that money to pay for more pilots and pay for more fighters. And there was a movie about Barry Seal that got into maybe 10% of that. Which is, you know, for Hollywood, pretty good, even 10%. But
yeah, for sure. So this Israeli art team, art students, I found this out, basically was able for 4 years before 9/11 rent two floors, floor 91 and 92 in the World Trade Center tower.
No. Nope. That's not true. That was Austrian art students who were actually art students. That is disinformation by this lady, Rebecca Roth, who copied the name of my film. I had a film called Decades of Deception. She named hers Decade of Deception and put all this baloney in there about alleged Israeli art students, which was pure disinformation.
Oh, really?
So now when you Google Israeli art students, it goes to her bullshit rather than the actual story.
Okay. So what is the actual story?
They were Wolfgang. They made the Ill America music video and stuff. Those were real art students. They had nothing to do with 9/11.
Really?
And you have people losing their minds saying, oh, there's like a code on a box. Well, all boxes have mail codes. It's nothing to get excited about. The Israeli art students were not involved in the physical operation inside the towers. The Israeli art students were there to set honey traps on the DEA and to provide black budget money for the entire thing. They were compartmentalized and separated from Urban Moving Systems, White Glove Movers, International Movers, Inc., Mac Movers. There's all these different moving companies that which were serving as fronts for the Mossad that had access to the towers. The Denko Heating and Plumbing, Denko Mechanical, the guys who were busted and thrown in jail for more than 10 years for illegal access, working on the fire prevention systems in the World Trade Centers. And they got busted separately trying to get fake IDs in Tennessee. Their ringleader, Khalid Odala, he escaped and fled back to Israel. The rest of them all went to prison, though, because when they were arrested, one of them had on his person a pass to do work in the World Trade Center dated September 5th, 2001. And the Port Authority had not hired anybody. They did all the in-house work. So it must have been some tenant within the building that had hired this crew to work on fire prevention systems, which was illegal. And the company they were working for, according to the business card he also had on him on his person, went back to just some residential address in New York. And Sergey Denko and David Connell were subpoenaed. I have the district attorney's letter about the whole thing. All these guys got arrested. The judge gave them the maximum penalty. They weren't officially in jail for 9/11. They were in jail for procuring fake IDs. But everyone knew that they had been illegally doing work for a fake company in the World Trade Centers a week before 9/11. The South Tower also had all its cameras turned off for cable upgrades. So more than likely, there was a crew in both towers. That's just the one that got caught. And the key witness of the DMV that was selling the license to these people, who got her car from Khalid Odala, by the way, her name was Catherine Smith. She was burned alive the day before her trial while these guys were in custody, meaning somebody else on the outside got rid of her. That is often not brought up when talking about 9/11. Everybody just focuses on the physics of the building and ignores everything else. And that's why it's, to me, it's like the magic bullet of Kennedy. It doesn't matter what happened in Daley Plaza. There is so much evidence around that, and I won't open that can of worms yet. But with 9/11, like, you have people caught illegally doing work in the buildings that trace back to a foreign state who is also celebrating the event on the morning of 9/11.
So, and the dancing, you know, Israelis are real. That part is real? Are they really?
Oh, yeah. Dancing Israelis are real. They went to prison. There's FBI files on them. There's a 1,800-page report about the dancing Israelis and police reports about the dancing Israelis and questions with Bernard Carrick, who was the police commissioner of New York on 9/11, who also went to jail for fraud and working with the mafia. He's the guy that allegedly found an unburned passport or had it handed to him. Bernard Carrick had flown to Israel August 26th through 29th, and he got a quarter million dollar loan from Ertai Wertheimer, an Israeli billionaire, the richest person in Israel. Gives him a loan, but not directly, not with any conditions. He gave it to Steve Witkoff, who's a marble dealer, who gave it to Carrick's wife, who gave it to Carrick, right? There's all these intermediaries. And, you know, who just gives away $250,000 out of the blue? And there, you know, they're buying influence. And anytime Giuliani was questioned about the dancing Israelis, he was smart. He's like, and just deferred to Carrick and let Carrick tell all the lies. Well, then Carrick ended up going to jail. Nothing happened to Giuliani. But yeah, the dancing Israeli story, though, however, they always say there's five dancing Israelis. That is not true. There were three. There was Sivan Kersberg and his brother Paul Kersberg, Omar Mamari, Yoren Schmel, and Oned Eldner. Paul Kushner and Mamari were not there. It was just Eldner, Shmuel, and Sivan. Sivan was the driver. However, after being witnessed celebrating the attack and filming the first plane hitting, they're there before the event happens, right? They're at Doric Towers, which was right across the street from Israeli art students, three women, by the way. But this group from Urban Moving Systems, which is run by Dominic Suter, who's on the FBI's official list as a suspect for 9/11, we're filming the first plane hitting and then celebrating, high-fiving, flicking lighters, hugging each other. And a woman named Maria called the police, but she waited till her husband got home before she did that for some reason. So it wasn't until around 3 in the afternoon that these guys were pulled over in the same van, which matched the license plate of the van that they got into. And so when that van was pulled over, then there were five individuals One of them was a brother of the driver. Another one, the Mamari, is he's the only one that really wasn't in with the four. He did work with at Urban Moving Systems, but he'd only been in New York a couple weeks. And the only reason he was really with this crew is because Sivan had recognized him because they served together in the Israeli military. But he seemed to not really be in the know, because he's also the one in jail that completely broke down and cried and spilled the beans. All the rest of them lied. All of them failed their polygraph tests. All of them had different stories from one another. I have parsed this out in this film called The Empire and Mask, which goes over, you know, the narrative of each one and a lot of detail. And it turns out that in the van, when they were arrested, they had a like a yellow notepad with phone numbers on it, which linked to several other moving companies. One of them was White Glove Mover, which is where they had just been, and passed off a videotape to a, all I know is her first name is Karen. I deduced that because I didn't have her last name for a long time, but I knew that a female had partied on September 10th. They had a party, by the way, in Brooklyn on September 10th, as do at a random Monday in September. Yeah. I mean, these guys were so guilty that they had $5,000 stuffed in a sock. All of them, except for Mamari, had passports and plane tickets for immediate destinations out of the country. Some went to India, some went to Australia, some went to Germany. So, like, you know, minimum wage, furniture moving people, yeah, college students from Israel. They just, well, they'd finished college, but, you know, 20-something-year-olds working at a moving company are going to just vacation to India. And in the middle of a random Tuesday in September, they just decide, oh, yeah, I'm just going to quit my job and fly to another country. And I just walk around New York with thousands of dollars and celebrate 9/11. Like, they were obviously Mossad. Two of them, which was Paul and Sivan Kirsberg, were already on the counterintelligence database as spies before 9/11. So they were already, like, on the radar, and the CFO knew about that. And then the rest of them, you know, they're all in the military. That doesn't really matter because they have compulsory service. But it's what they did in the military that's pretty condemning, as being explosive experts and map makers. They even had maps of New York with Doric Tower and the Twin Towers highlighted, like where they were going to be. And these guys were so guilty, and the FBI knew it. And they kept them in custody for 71 days. But pressure from the Israeli lobby, as well as Chertoff, let them go. They fled back to Israel.
Unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable, man. It pisses me off.
And it gets worse. I just, you know, I don't want to run on the mouth for hours about it, but each one of these companies, White Glove, etc., they'll get busted. Like, there was a Urban Moving Systems van in near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the guys lied about where they had been, yet receipts in the car showed the toll booths, showed that they had been in New York. They said they hadn't been. Aero Trucks, which is the truck that was outfitted, that, you know, it's just like a standard truck that are used for a lot of shipping companies, and they just put their logo on it, you know, like, we'll put a removing system, but or Ryder, I mean, Ryder's from Aero. That's based in Tennessee, and there was a man who drove an Aero truck all the way from New York down to Tennessee, because Tennessee is where you can get a driver's license without a Social Security number. And this is where that other cell I was just talking about got busted. He was one of the six that went to jail for that. There's so much evidence about state sponsorship of Al-Qaeda. The White Glove Movers, the Miami FBI field office contacted Newark to tell them, and you're wondering, wait, what, Miami? This is where a lot of the hijackers lived, right? The majority of the hijackers were in Florida for the majority of the time.
Oh, Broward County, dude. Broward County, where all the shady shit goes down.
Oh, they weren't. Well, yeah, near Fort Lauderdale, they were, most of them. But yeah, I know about Wasserman Schultz and all the school shootings. That's a tangent. But the Miami field office actually contacted Newark and said that one of the Al-Qaeda members, which I deduce was Omar Mamari, who's on the he's on the ATM footage with Muhammad Atta in Maine, Omir, excuse me. He used one of these Israeli moving companies to go from Florida to New Jersey. So they had eyes on him. And so not only were the Israelis, like, living next door to hijackers and following them around, they physically moved one of them from Florida to New Jersey.
Now, was there anything about that the DEA was kind of, like, blown away that these hijackers, or the FBI was blown away that they kind of knew every one of their moves? Like, they were always one step ahead of the FBI or the DEA. Do you know anything about that?
Well, the Israelis were using, I mean, everybody knows about Pegasus software in modern times, but the Israelis had a couple firms, Converse and InfoSeek, which are 50% sponsored by the Israeli government, so it's what it is, who have basically a backdoor channel on all telecommunications networks in the United States. And Fox News actually did a four-part series, and Fox News cannot be accused of anti-Israel anything, right? They're very pro-war, especially during the Bush administration. Yeah. Fox used to be the worst one. I mean, they were the worst, most war-mongering.
It's amazing how, like,
it never aired. It only went on their website, and then it got taken down from their website. But Carl Cameron, who's Lebanese, they did this four-part series going over the entire espionage ring, where they complained that every time they're, you know, about to make a move on one of these guys, they change their telecommunications processes. Like, they're always one step ahead. And it's the Israelis that had the back door in the entire thing. And they were shielding the hijackers from local authorities. They didn't have to worry about the CIA. The CIA was in on it. The counterintelligence wing of the CIA, for example, had followed, two of the hijackers who lived briefly in Los Angeles, actually, around from... Nawif al-Hazmi and Khalid al-Mihdhar they're on Flight 77. These guys had been to an Al-Qaeda summit meeting in Malaysia and met Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the Sheikh, mastermind of 9/11, were there in Malaysia and Sana'a, stayed the night with them. They followed the Mohammed Atta's cell in Hamburg, except for Ziad al-Jarr, who's a special case. Remind me about him later. Had their phone numbers, had their phones tapped, had their hub in Yemen. And when al-Mihdhar and al-Hazmi went to California and were getting money through a mosque down there, a Kuwaiti mosque, as well as direct money from an individual named Osama Basnan and another man named Omar Bayoumi, who was Saudi agents, who were getting money from the Saudi royals, Bandar Bush and Prince bin Turk Fasil. Their wives had given money to the wives. This is just like the Karak chain, right?
Yeah.
They had given money to the wives of Omar Bayoumi and Osama Basnan, who bought an apartment for the hijackers, lived with them for a month. The other one lived in the same neighborhood, like right across from them. You know, got them a house, got one of them a job. The only hijacker that ever had a job was at a gas station.
Did they pay for all the sponsored lap dances at the strip bars? Because those guys love strip bars.
I'm sure they did. I know they paid for their house.
Why would they?
They had some throw money around for strippers.
Guys,
and
get your receipts. Get your receipts.
Point is, the CIA had followed these individuals going to an Al-Qaeda summit meeting. That's, you know, Al-Qaeda's already blacklisted, not supposed to fly. A lot of these people were involved in the USS Cole bombing in Bahrain, and yet are free at large and get to live in the United States using their real names. And when they came to the United States, the CIA did not inform the FBI. They know Al-Qaeda is in the United States and going to flight schools, and they can't tell the FBI. They didn't tell the FBI anything until August of 2001, and only vaguely. And that was after the California hijackers had already moved to the East Coast.
Ryan,
so it was pretty useless.
What role does John Brennan have in this? Does he have a role? I mean, like, the whole theory is that he greenlit all the hijackers, and that, you know, because there was this whole theory that he had converted to Muslim because he was allowed in Mecca, and you're only allowed in Mecca if you have if you're a Muslim. So, but they don't know that there's the royal family is allowed to bring a couple non-Muslims in, and he greenlit all 19 hijackers. He's told not to out of Jeddah. I don't know if that's the name of the base. By the way, you're killing the names right now. You're amazing.
He's great at names, dude.
Great at names.
You're thinking of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia,
which
is where that's where the fast track program was for the CIA, which this is such a stupid program, no matter how you shake it. But they were fast tracking visas. And I think it was Mike Springfield that has a long rant online about it, saying he's a station chief, saying this is unbelievable that they were rubber stamping Al-Qaeda visas to fly into the United States, Canada, etc. Even guys with criminal records. But the reason the CIA was doing this, And that's why there's so many hijackers from Saudi Arabia, or at least their passports are from Saudi Arabia. Who knows where they're really from? But they were all part of this fast. 15 of the 19 were from this fast track program out of Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And the purpose of that was, you have to understand that a lot of Al-Qaeda members are covertly on our team, just like we're using Al-Qaeda in Syria today. Well, I guess that's ending soon, but... And so they had used these same individuals in Kosovo and Bosnia and Afghanistan. Whenever they're killing Russians or, you know, killing the people we want them to kill, they're on a look-away list. They're modern privateers. And they've been modern privateers since they were fighting the Soviets in the 1980s. And they're just like the proxy forces in Iran-Contra, just like proxy forces that were used in Libya, that are used in Syria, that MEK in Jindala that are sponsored to try and infiltrate Iran. And so that's why the CIA has this program. It's like, well, no, these guys, they're Al-Qaeda, but because they're on our side secretly.
They're nice
Al-Qaeda. It could have been a double cross. It could have been that the CIA had used these people in the past. I mean, this is giving them a lot of leniency. And that they thought they had turned them, and these guys double crossed, used that cover to get in, and then the CIA can't admit their secret program and how they use Al-Qaeda terrorists all over the world, can they? So they have to fall back on incompetence and go, oh my gosh, we just caught with our pants down. We had no idea they were going to fly planes into buildings, which is BS, because you knew they're going to flight schools, you knew they're Al-Qaeda, and you know there was the Bojinka plot that Ramzi Youssef, the man who attacked the World Trade Center in 1993, had spilled the beans on them, but they were going to hijack planes in the Philippines and run them into Western targets. And they knew that. They've known that since 1994 when they had him in custody. He's in jail right now. So to act like Condoleezza Rice and other, who's former Secretary of State, saying, oh, we just had no clue that, you know, Osama determined to attack America meant they were going to use airplanes. That is totally not true, because the people who attacked the World Trade Centers before, their next plan was to use airplanes, and that had been known.
So let me ask you two things. Dick Cheney. Does Dick Cheney take over NORAD, you know, and there's basically audio of these fighter pilots going, is this a live drill? Is this
real
live?
Real exercise, yeah.
Yeah. Is that in a part of this conspiracy, that he takes it over and stops them from taking out these planes?
The Joint Chief of Staff should have been in the decision maker in that, but it had moved to the vice president for some reason. And this is why it's very important to admit that,
because he's an evil fuck,
did hit the Pentagon. It's because Al-Hazmi and Al-Midhar were on that plane. And if you don't have a plane, you don't have the hijackers. And if you don't have the hijackers, you don't have that paper trail back to Saudi Arabia and the CIA that I just explained. You also don't have the connection to the vice president, because Norman Mineta, the transportation secretary, is on record saying, and this is also backed up by Clark, and I have in my film, I go over a lot of, you know, rigorous research to show that what I'm about to say is true. But Cheney was in the POC bunker, and when Flight 77, it went to the Pentagon. It was at too high an altitude, so it turned right, looped back around, and then it hit. So they had two chances to shoot it down. And as it was coming, they were saying the plane is 30 miles out, the plane is 20 miles out, the orders still stand. And Dick Cheney's the one whipping his head around going, of course still stand, have you heard otherwise? So the default setting is you can't shoot down a civilian plane unless you're given the order. And Dick Cheney refused to do that. He then claims that they're talking about Flight 93. But if you're talking about, which was in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, is where it was taken down. But if you're talking about Flight 93, how is Flight 93 30 miles, 20 miles, or 10 miles from anything? It was nowhere near the White House. And yet they're in the POC bunker in Washington, D.C., saying it's 30 miles away, 20 miles away, 10 miles away.
So what do you
they're
think
talking
happened?
About Flight 77, the time stamps match up, etc. They don't want to admit that they refused to shoot down the plane, which, you know, two had already hit in New York by this point. It would have been, they're going to die anyway. The right thing to do would have been to shoot the plane out of the air before it hit a target. He ensured that that plane met its target. Dick Cheney knew where it was going to go.
Yeah.
And Dick Cheney, all the neocons are around his office or the Office of Special Plans in the Defense Department, Doug Feith and Richard Perle. But Louis Libby was Dick Cheney's chief of staff. Louis Leibowitz is his real name. He was instrumental neocon architect for the Iraq War that attached Iraq erroneously to 9/11. He's also the one that outed Brewster Jennings and Associates, which was a CIA front, which agents, their agents of the front, were in charge of tracking nuclear weapons proliferation. So when they ousted Brewster Jennings, all those agents' covers were blown, and we lost our ability to track nuclear weapons. Then, lo and behold, some other neocons like Michael Adeen and Ghorbanifar, both Iran-Contra groupies, lied about yellowcake uranium from Niger that allegedly Saddam Hussein was going to buy oxidized uranium from both the Congo and Niger. And this is another point where I stress this is not incompetence, because that the evidence for that claim was allegedly based on documents that were signed by an obsolete foreign minister, Adele. So you can't possibly have documents saying Saddam's buying yellowcake uranium that are signed by somebody who's no longer in charge. That's like passing around a document today about 2019 about Trump and saying that Donald Rumsfeld signed it. Donald Rumsfeld's no longer the defense secretary.
It's like Tom.
That's how sloppy and stupid it was. And yet they ran with it anyway, and Bush included it in the State of Union address and a speech in Ohio where he said, yeah, they've reconstituted the nuclear weapons program. And who else said that? Dick Cheney, right?
All liars. You brought up this point. Once again, Bush is having a meeting. The Carlyle Group had a meeting at the Ritz-Carlton the night before. I mean, conveniently, you know, Bush Sr. conveniently having a meeting with all his own neocon buds. And
that's called a
guess
party.
Who's there?
Well, they had breakfast with they had breakfast with a Pakistani money man for Muhammad Atta. They wired $100,000. This is a Mahmoud. They were direct financiers of 9/11 hijackers, and they're there. And Lindsey Graham was there, and you know, George Bush Sr. is there. And of course, this equity firm that George Bush Sr. really helped create, used to give $100,000 speeches for. They're all meeting, you know, it's about to go down. And these people are nasty. But Carlyle is kind of, they're like a mid-card player as far as equity firms. They just got a lot of attention because of Michael Moore. But like IAI and some of these other equity firms are much more embedded with the administration. They just haven't got the attention online because they're not in a movie. But plenty of those kind of shenanigans go around because there were a lot of investment in 9/11, a lot of put options placed on airlines, a lot of, and the DTCC never subpoenaed these people. Like, if you really want a court case, like the architects want to have, like, why don't you get into that? Like, who benefited financially and showed foreknowledge in 9/11? Why don't you sue the FBI for physically destroying samples of Amstram anthrax in the middle of an anthrax investigation? They physically wiped out Ames, Iowa. This is where it's located. It's named after that. That's what was used to try to kill Patrick Leahy, who had the Leahy Amendment, which would have forbidden arms sales to Israel. And suddenly somebody tries to kill him with anthrax and signs it, death to America, death to Israel.
Yeah, I mean, it's so
Allah
obvious,
is great. P.S. We're evil Muslims. It's not us. Yeah,
yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Final thing, real quick. The FEMA was there the night before. Like, they had already set up camp. And what we've talked about on this show is whenever they run drills, you know, usually some false flag's about to happen. And there's actual audio, and because of our jankiness right now, we can't play it. I had it where the guy from FEMA's like, yeah, we've been here since the day before. We'd already been set up.
Church of Dades, right? They're there. Yeah, Monday. And they got in Monday night. And then it happens on Tuesday morning, right? 9/11 was actually supposed to be earlier. But weather and other things botched the whole thing. It was supposed to be a lot bigger. They had a lot more than four planes to hijack, because they tried to hijack planes again on September 13th. And 10 people got arrested. 9 of them were released.
What?
And we have a film about that called 6 on 77. Oh, yeah. If you watch my film, The Empire in Mass, there were a lot more targets for 9/11. Like, the Bajinka plant had 16 targets, right?
And the so Bajinka 9/11. Plant? The Bajinka plant?
When Ramzi Youssef, the millennial plot with the ringleader of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, which was all blamed on the Muslim Brotherhood, et cetera, even though, you know, the FBI made the bomb, and Josie Hadass, the Mossad, the apartment where they're staying and building the thing. But there, you know, that was not an organic. It was just OKC bombing, 93 bombing. None of these groups are independent.
Right.
They always work. They're always being handled. And I think it was, it's something else too, that after 9/11, everybody compared it to Pearl Harbor rather than the 1993 World Trade Center terrorist attack, right? No one wanted to talk about the previous time that the World Trade Center had been hit, where the Ryder truck was parked in the wrong place, because the FBI is seriously recorded on their phone conversations were recorded, where the FBI itself is talking about giving them the bomb.
It upsets me so much. And then you have all these people, they're disrespecting the intelligence community. It's like, dude, started by Nazis. Still fucking Nazis. Nazis didn't get defeated. They just entered a paper fucking clip. Expansion. Yeah, expansion. Fuck them.
Argentina. Argentina's full of them.
But the OSS is the original Nazis. Like prior to World War II or the CIA existing or the OSS existing, the U.S. State Department was, they had the banana wars with Latin America, toppling, starting with Honduras heroin trade into Louisiana. Which would involve O.K. Allen, which connects to the Kennedy assassination. But
we'll get into that another
all
time.
Through, we'll do another show on Kennedy. But all the way up until 1934, the Good Neighbors Policy, the State Department was like what the CIA is now. And the Federal Bureau of Narcotics did the narco trafficking. And George White from the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, who started MK Ultra, used to go to the airport and back with Traficante and Jacob Rubenstein, as you know, is maybe know his name is Jack Ruby.
All God.
Pals, man. Hired Sam Giancana. I mean, the relationship between the mafia and the CIA predates the CIA. I mean, they'd already been using the mafia with the State Department. And so running drugs, prostitution, gambling, you name it, all the vices. And like you say, these things are illegal because they create enormous black budgets. That's the primary reason for occupying Afghanistan is the opium. They make more money from that than anything else. $64 billion a year in heroin trade, heroin base, morphine, all the joys of the poppy seed. And they're over there guarding them. They won't burn down the fields. They won't stop the drug trade because it's too much of a lucrative black budget for black ops. And, you know, with those things winding down in Syria, they might wind down in Afghanistan, too, because if we're not going to be paying ISIS, there's really no reason to stay in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just super tragic. Wow. Eye opener. I learned a lot today, dude. You are an encyclopedia, bro. You nail these names. It is probably
I've actually forgotten a lot about 9/11. Like when I was more serious into it, I made this film called The Empire Unmasked. There's a free version called War by Deception, but that's the super watered down version of 9/11. But The Empire Unmasked is 5 hours long, but 9/11 is a complicated subject. And I talk in there about a lot of stuff that people didn't know. Like the sort of classic 9/11 thing is those buildings fell down too fast based on eyeballing it. I think Bush did it. They don't really name any names, use any documents. That's the end of it. And I just think that's sad. So I did a real serious, like, good decade of my life investigation into 9/11 with real names, real policies, its erroneous connection to the Iraq War, what these guys, these neocons, the Feist, Pearl, Wolfowitz, Libby were doing before 9/11, what Al-Qaeda was created, all the relationships and, you know, busted events where Al-Qaeda and the United States were working together. And then I think it's less surprising if you really understand the war in Syria and Libya, for example, then 9/11 is not a big shock because we have been covertly arming terrorists for many decades. And a lot of the same individuals who are alive during Iran-Contra, the Elliot Abrams, the Michael Ledeens, the Ghebranifars, the Wolfowitzes, and participated in that proxy war are the same people who became architects for the second Iraq war and used 9/11 as a hammer to invade seven different nations. And that was written up not by Clark. That was written up by Richard Pearl. He was the chairman for the Defense Policy Board in the DOD. That's who wrote the list, this Jewish neocon who's writing policy papers for Netanyahu ahead of a foreign state while he's working for the U.S. government in the DOD.
Dude, it upsets me. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate you hanging out in the robe. You're a real ass man. I appreciate that shit. You're fucking G.
Hey, I go shopping in this. I do everything in my robe.
Dude, you deserve it, dude. You work hard, you play hard. Dog.
Next time, don't wear a shirt, though.
Hey, just do you ever come to the States?
If it was warmer, I would kill the shirt, but, you know, it's
hey, man,
really cold here in Japan right now.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Where can they find, where do you want them to go find your stuff?
I run the anti-neocon report. It's called ancreport.com. And if you go to ancreport.com, there's a tab on the top that says films that has all the films I've made. I've made films on 9/11, Syria, neocolonialism in Africa, CIA fuckery. Like, there's a lot of good films there on different topics, not just 9/11. But they all kind of tie in together. It's one long narrative. But, you know, I don't want a 20-hour film, so I broke it all down. I recently released the Syria film for free on New Year's, so you can go to my website and watch that one. That one's much shorter. It's only about 1 hour, but it really hammers home that how the DIA and the rest that were admitting Hillary Clinton again in her eternal emails are saying, let's create a Salafist principality and da-da-da-da. I mean, these people are psychopaths. They're run by psychopaths. And
they're liars.
ANC Report is the main place, and I do free videos on YouTube every day, interviews, podcasts, etc. But the films are, I really hope people buy some films. Some of them are only like $4, but that is what finances the whole thing. Like, I don't even have a heater in my room. That's why I'm wearing a robe, but I have one in the rest of the house where the kids are, but
you're a man. Ryan Dawson, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. We're going to do it again very soon. And
thank you very much. Let's talk JFK someday.
For sure, my friend. Take care. And guys, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you guys so much.
Peace.